The Oilers, I don't think they took Ottawa for granted because they dominated the first period, but their defensive zone play 5-on-5 has become the only real issue for this team. Their 5-on-5 scoring's being consistent, their power play is good, their penalty kill is great. It's just their goals allowed 5-on-5 has become a problem.
Yeah, and the Ottawa game, a couple of soft goals from Koskinen, and then, you know, like, I'm a big fan of Klefbom and Larson. I like both of them. They got caught a little bit, and Ottawa has some fast trains among their forwards, and they had a tough time getting back. So it was not a comedy of errors, but a combination of things at 5-on-5 that cost them. And you know, you can play that game again and win it no problem because Ottawa is not a strong team. The one thing Edmonton has been able to do all year, including the Vancouver game on last weekend, is when they're down a little bit, they seem to be able to pull out a victory or turn it around. So they played a great first period, two poor periods. I would expect they'll come out and play very well against Los Angeles, and if not, get the upper hand. They'll play at par until they can maybe get an advantage. I expect a much better 5-on-5 performance tonight.
Can we, you know, kind of discuss a little bit about Nugent Hopkins being out and the impact he has and maybe kind of, you know, putting people in the right position, not suggesting Leon should be at center, but, you know, just everyone has to step up and do a little bit more.
Yeah, they're at least one forward, maybe two. You could argue that they need a scoring winger and a third line center, and that's when everybody's healthy. And so Nuge being out forces Leon Draisaitl to check down. But, you know, Leon and McDavid, I think, in a lot of ways, at 5-on-5, they're just such possession giants that even though it's not showing this year, that when they do get in the offensive zone, they're a lot for the other team to deal with. And Nugent Hopkins has done a really good job with the second line. The coach had two lines he could count on at 5-on-5. When Nuge is out, you check down with Leon, and you just change the entire feel of the team. And I understand not going out and getting anything, but I like that third line center position. Riley Sheahan's getting eaten alive a little bit, his line anyway, and at some point in time I think they might have to go out and get a replacement for Ryan Strome. I can't put a better description of it, but that's really what they need.
It's interesting to say that, because I get the sense, Low Tide, and you are a little bit like this, you're a very impatient guy. And you want to have your cookies and eat them now, you know. So what would you be willing to part with to get this this third line sentiment?
Well, it depends on who you're going after, right? Like I think if we ask Ken Holland the question, which I think is maybe a more credible conversation to have.
Sure.
I doubt he'd trade the first round pick. I doubt he'd trade Evan Bouchard. I doubt he'd trade Broberg. Maybe there's something in there that you would trade. Maybe there's one of those young left-handed defensemen that you have on the farm that you might trade. Something along those lines. And is it a rental or whatever the case may be? From Holland's point of view, he just has to wait 8 weeks or 9 weeks, and he can probably get that player as a rental when more teams fall out of the race. Right now you've got, what, two or three teams that are maybe five that are looking at moving on. So it's the pool of talent that you're going to be able to draw from isn't very high, but I think he'll trade something of value, whether it's a pick or a prospect, but the problem is it's a little early.
Well, they're already out a third-round pick this year, right? Because we're going to assume that pick's going to go with Lucic.
Well, hey, Lucic scored last night, Scotty.
Yeah.
If James Neal gets to 20 goals and Lucic gets 11, then they don't know it. That's basically how it has to work. So, yeah, right now, because let's say Neal only gets 20, then there's no draft pick. He has to get to 21.
We'll make it there.
Yeah, probably. I agree.
So we're out of third round. Or sorry, the team is out of third round pick. So let's say it's a second rounder and one of those D-men. Like, I feel where you're coming from. Now, if you're going to tell me that you want to make a deal and maybe bring in a guy that has term on his deal, a real hockey trade, that's where I'm a little bit more interested in that. I'm looking long term here, guys, and I have that ability to look long term rather than you two guys that want to, you know, trade up the farm team to get into the second round.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! Pump the brakes, here, fella.
This is the little slide piece there. Look, when you were playing hockey in New York, yeah. you were pushing, you know, Jesse Palmer's going to be the future. Now it's Danny Jones. I mean, you're always about the youth and what's going to happen. Yeah. We got to worry about the youth. Here's the thing about the third line center. It's going to be a problem next year too. So I agree totally. You're going to go out and get a long-term solution if it's available. That's yeah. the problem.
Eric Staal?
Well, is Eric Staal available? How much is he
well,
worth?
Yeah, see, the thing is, I'm not sure. Well, he's got 3.25 mil, right? He's got 1 year left on his deal. The thing is, though, right now the Minnesota Wild are absolutely rolling. So he's not available now, no question about it, right? And if Minnesota, like, they've suddenly got themselves right back in this thing. They're actually in a playoff spot. So, you know, 2 weeks ago everybody thought for sure, but suddenly the Minnesota Wild, with the oldest roster in the NHL, are on fire.
Yeah, and it's NHL general managers are less likely now after what happened with St. Louis to pull the plug too soon than they've ever been, right? And I mean, I look at Minnesota, and every time I turn around, they're putting two more guys on IR, and they never lose. So it's like this league now is so even that you can go on a roll with your, you know, as long as you've got a really great goaltender, and like the Oilers, right? You know, you mentioned earlier, Jason, the special teams of the power play and the penalty kill are driving a lot of this. If they had the even strength side going, this team might be on a hell of a roll right now and on the way to being out of sight in the Pacific Division. This is a marathon here, and I have no idea who's going to be available at the deadline, because in all honesty, we don't know who's going to be out of it.
Talking with Alan Mitchell from the Lowdown Flow Tide. You can hear him every day here on the station for between 10 and 12. He is still very excited and high about the Eagles winning a championship. What was that, 4 or 5 years ago? Congrats that you guys got one.
You know, it's unbelievable.
Exciting
don't
time.
Don't make me bring up the shift.
You know, when I look at this back end, are you at all surprised that they're splitting up the Swedes and most likely going to give Adam Larsson a little bit easier opposition as he kind of rounds himself back into playing form that we know what he can play at?
First, I will say I really like Adam Larsson. I've always been a fan of his, and I didn't like the trade, but I like Adam Larsson a lot. I'm worried about Adam Larsson because he didn't have a great year last year, mm-hmm. and he's not old. He's not an old player at all. But there's he plays that tough minutes, and you know, he defends a lot. He's a defender, like Chris Russell is a defender, and they, you know, you're blocking shots, you're taking a lot of hits, you're physical. Adam Larsson is filthy, and I mean that in a good way.
100%.
And but that takes its toll too. So I would like to see him, like, I'm fine with him on the third pair because you got to get him back to where he's playing at a high level. But then I want, by the end of this year, I hope we see him play at the level that we saw him play a couple of years ago, where I thought he was, you know, really, really good, because it's been a while since we saw the Adam Larsson that the Oilers traded for, and that is a concern.
Yeah, you're right. You know, you got to try to get him going, and there's been a couple things happen the last couple of years that have kind of got him perhaps not 100% going, but that playoff year, I mean, he was a monster. And he, you know, some of the ways he treated people in the corner and in the front of the net, I mean, it was amazing. And people
loved it.
Well, yeah, and people talk about the Oilers not getting calls. Well, you know, I'm guaranteeing that the other team's fan base is watching him. It's a big part. So, you know, how do you get back to him? I think you got to, you know, feed him some minutes to get feeling good about himself. But I think Playfair is the defensive coach for the Oilers. He understands how players have to be successful. And, you know, I go back, I think it was the fourth goal last night, where it's D-to-D just inside the Oilers' blue line, and Larsson just simply misses a pass. Was it to Gagne? Was it to Jujar? You know, I'm guessing Jujar, but someone was on him. Just say, listen, simplify it. You don't have to be Oscar. You don't have to be Bear. Just make the simple plays. But when you get a chance to do what you do, what you do, no one else can do on this back end.
Yeah, and I think there's I remember at the beginning of the year, Coach Dave Tippett said he wanted to see the international Adam Larsson, the guy who passes the puck and jumps into the play. I think the problem is in the NHL, the game is like, it's not just faster, but it's tighter because of the size of the rinks. And Larsson, he does a lot of things well. I think he shuts that kill zone, or whatever you want to call it, the high danger zone. He is very physical in there, and he'll clear people out, you know, all the way to Leduc if he has to, and that's really good. That's that's what he does very, very well. But as a passer, he's he doesn't have. That's why he's good with Oscar, because Klefbom can pass the puck, but he doesn't have that. And the thing about Klefbom now is he's played a lot. He plays a lot every night, and he may not be able to, like, when he pinches, he doesn't recover as quickly. And if Larson's your other guy who's supposed to be back and he's caught a little bit, then you're in trouble there. So I like the idea of being on the third pair for a while. I think when they move them back up, if they're back to being confident, as you say, Klefbom and Larson have played well in the past as a pairing. That would be a big, big key here for December and January, getting those guys playing together right. And I'll be interested in seeing the usage of Klefbom and Pearson tonight, how they use them, whether in the offensive zone or whether they use them as the de facto second pair against top opposition. That'll be interesting to see.
What do you think of Moss to the Riders?
Well, I don't like it. The Rough Riders are good. That was a great hire. Moss can flourish there. That's ideal for him. They made a lot of the Rough Riders year over year. They went from a quarterback who was very good CFL quarterback, but some concussion concerns, to a young quarterback that they can ride for several years. And Moss, I think, would be a really good fit there. So if you're a Eskimo fan, that's not a great day. If you're a Moss fan, that was a great day. And who knows? That's a really good situation in Saskatchewan. In terms of the CFL, that's a great place to be a coach. And you never know, he may get an opportunity there down the line if he is interested in becoming head coach again. I think it's a really good hot match. Moss to Saskatchewan is a really good match.
LT, have yourself a great weekend. And Connor has an open invitation for you and Struds Monday night to join him at First Round and watch the Eagles and the Giants together.
Well, I will, but I need to be assured. I'm trying to clear my schedule, but I need to be assured that Jason and his Lords of Flatbush buddies aren't going to show up with the leather jackets and the chains. Because last time I was in public with a guy, he was very intimidating. And those all his buddies,
Yeah, I run through a pretty gritty group,
Bunch of 65-year-old guys with leather jackets on. It's pretty scary.
Yeah, growing up in the West End of Edmonton, buddy, I had to grow up hard, hard
sometimes
and fast.
That number 9 bus didn't come, eh, Sonny?
Number 7. It was a rough one, buddy. It was a rough wait.
All right, boys. Have a good one.
See you, buddy. Have a good